Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf Chav Beis. We're holding at the two dots, which is roughly 12 lines from the top of the Yamid. But the Gemara gives Simon Shanboi Shanaz. That Simon, by the way, is because the Gemara is going to ask a series of kashas, and the letters of Shanboi Shanaz is referring to the names of each one of the Amiroim that asked the kasha. What are their kashas? Back in our Mishnah on Chof Aleph Amid Beis, the top line, the Mishnah told us that a person can be doing one act and he can be over 8 lavin simultaneously, for which he will get 8 times malchus. What were the 8? So just going over the Mishnah quickly again, Chof Aleph Amid Beis, top line, Yesh Choyrish Telem Echad, a person could be plowing out one furrow, one row in the field. And it'll be over 8 separate prohibitions. What are the 8? Hachodesh b'shor v'chamor. We have a pasuk v'sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtov. Oh, he's already being over number 1. V'hein mukdashin, and they were kodesh. How were they kodesh? Remember, we learned yesterday in the Rivan. Turns out that they were both b'choyer. You had a b'chor shor, and you had a peter chamor. Then the Rivan said, as far as a petach hamor, that's really dependent on a machloikis, because only Rabbi Yehuda holds that a petach hamor is osur bano. So therefore, according to the other mafarshim, you're going to have to give a different according to the other tanoim, you have to give a different explanation that we're not talking about shor v'chamor, we're really talking about b'shor v'seh. And the reason why the Mishnah quotes shor v'chamor, because since one of the laban is stating the Torah loy sachar b'shor v'chamor yachtov, even though this din refers to all two minim that you bind together under one yoke for purposes of Harisha, however, we're hopping on the Lashon HaPasuk. But anyway, as a result, we have already one Isser, and the Mukdashin, if you're talking about a Bechor Shor, and a Petach Hamar, or Bechor Shor, and a Bechor Seh together, each one of them, the Torah says, Loi Savoy Bechor Shoyrecha, like Tzoynitz, Loi Sogoyz, but Lav Dafka, the din of Avoid applies to all Bechorim. And therefore you have now two other Isurim. You have the Shor B'chamor Yachtav, and you have the two B'chayrim, so now we're 3 altogether. And Kalayim B'kerim, as he is going and doing the furrowing, the plowing in the field, what's happening is that some of the earth is now springing on top of the seeds which are lying there on the floor, and so therefore it's a form of propagating, of producing Kalayim. So now we have number 4. Uva Shvi'isim is talking about in the Shemitah year, it's 5. The Yontav is talking on Yontav, which is 6. And it's a Koyim and Nazir, which is 7 and 8. Bebeis HaTumah, in a field which has in it bones, Nebuch of Niftar. So therefore, we have 8 altogether. So now the Gemara asks, if you're trying to go and maximize the number, I can ask you a few more. And as we'll see, the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions. Some of the questions are going to be a little bit remote in terms of likelihood and probability, but since the Tana apparently wants to maximize the number of lavin, I can add a few more. So, Maskel Ravoshia, V'lechshav Nami Hazareya B'Nachal Eisan, V'Hazarosim Yehocha, Ashlehi Oved Boi V'lo Yizareya. What is this referring to? It's Chas Hashem, if they found a Cholul Ba'adamah, and we do not know who killed this poor soul, so then you have to go and measure to the closest city, and then after that you have to go and bring an Egla Rufa, and the Egla Rufa you have to decapitate in what's called Nachal Eson. Nachal Eson typically is defined as a valley where the land is really virgin territory, which has never been plowed previously, never been used for planting, and so therefore it's as hard as a rock, literally. So, and the Torah says about that, since this was the mokum, the location of this Egla Rufa, leave it like it was forever and ever. So what happens if a person made now his Kalei HaKerem in this particular Nachal Eisan, and he did all of these molochais, so he's doing a Harisha Metazri, he's doing an Avoida, so he could be over number 9. Some of Forshim ask, L'choyr, it should say 9 and 10, because it says, Ye Ovid Boy, Velo Yizarei, these are separate. There's a machloikis aposkim, whether the Isser in a Nachal Eisan is just a singular Isser, and the Ovid Boy, Velo Yizarei is just being expansive in language, but it means, leave it the way it was forever and ever, never do any malacha. And if you do any malacha in this Nachal Eson, in terms of trying to make it into a field that grows, you'll be over just one Isser. Or they say that in fact there are multiple Isser. Don't work the field, which would presumably mean to plow it, and then Yisrael to go and plant it. Anyway, we're missing that. We could have added that to the Mishnah. What happens if on the ground, as the shoyer and the chamor are plowing, there was, for instance, a piece of cloth with Hashem's name on it? And unfortunately, as a result of the plowing, they were mochik es Hashem, rachmon litzlan. Vazarasim Yehochet says, vavartim es shmom and emokam abu. This is referring to Avodah Zarah. You're supposed to obliterate their name. But lo yisasekein l'Hashem alekech, but not chas v'shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Just the opposite. You're not allowed to be mochik es Hashem. Gizuntai. Oh, so therefore, you'll be over yet another Isser. And maskul ravov l'chshiv nami ha-koitis ha-beheretzoi. What happens if a person had a beheres? Beheres means a form of what we call leprosy, but it means a nekat saras. This week's parshiyos tazriya mitzayra. So he has a beheres on his foot, lemoshel, and he's pushing the plow with his foot, and as a result, the plow now conveniently removes that beheres from his foot. Vazirosa mihachet says in the pasuk, he's shomer benegat saras. And we have the famous rule, wherever it says, Yishomer pen ba'al, eini elo lo yisasa. So he's going to be over another lav if he takes off the baharis as a result of the plowing. Now all those cases that we had until now were kind of remote cases. But the next case is really about as remote as you can possibly get. Maskul abayi v'lichshav nami ha-meziach ha-choyshim mi'alo eifoy v'ameser ba'dei oroi. What is this all about? The halacha is that when the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Shmoyne Megadim, he has to have certain chains and certain ribbons and stuff to go and keep the choshen intact on the ephod, meaning the ephod, which is the apron down below, as well as the shoulder straps that come from down below over the shoulders. So you have to attach those very strongly to the choshen, so that the choshen should remain in place. So the choshen should never be removed, it should never fall away or kind of move whilst the Kohen Gadol is walking. Should really be very strong and intact. What happens if, however, someone removes a choshen from the ephod? So when it says v'lo yizach ha-choshen mi'al ha-ephod, one could have learned that the pasuk is saying, you know, go and tie it very fast, very strongly, so it should stay in place. But Chazal learned that, in fact, this is yet another iser, another lav, that a person who does not connect the choshen to the ephod in a very strong way, he could be over the lead. So the easiest way of being over that iser is, in fact, remove the choshen from the ephod, and now you're being over lizach choshen. And moreover, it says the godly, the badi ha'orin. Badim are the poles that were used if the orin were transported from place to place, such as in the times of the Mishkan, where they were constantly on the move. So you had to have badim in the orin. The badim were in taboys, as are described towards the end of Sefer Shemos. And the pasuk says over there, the same lashon of leave the badim in the orin, lo yisurim imenu. The tabis orin, you, a badim yisurim imenu, never meet another. Don't let them move, don't let them fall out. They stay there intact at all times. So even when the orin, for instance, in the Kodesh Kodashim, it stands there with the poles attached, and the Gemara, in fact, talks about the fact that the poles protrude from the, they don't mamish protrude, but they push out the curtain, which is between the Kodesh Kodashim. Exactly. So therefore, what do I see from this? That you gotta leave it away, Surah Mimena. What happens if he removed these Badi Orin? Okay, and now, what is he doing? So the Ritva learns that he took the Choshen, and for instance, he's wearing the Choshen himself, or he's holding on to it, as well as he's carrying the Badi Orin at the time that he is doing the plowing. So now the Ritva asks on himself, the Isser is to remove the Choshen and to remove the Badim. Once he removed them, he was already over. So he didn't do that at the same time that he was doing the plowing. It must have been, says Ritva, he took it before, and now he's wearing it himself, and he's holding on to the Badim as he's doing. So what Isser is he now doing? So the Ritva says that this is a continuing Isser. It's not an Isser just when you remove it, when you remove the choshen from the eifin, when you remove the badim from the orin, but it continued, you continue to be over it. Probably something similar to shatnas that we had yesterday, that's not just the initial levisha, as you continue to wear the Shabbos, you continue to be over the Yisr. You don't get more Malkus unless you have another Leisilbash, additional Asores. But as you continue wearing it, then you continue to be over. So that's how the Ritva learns, as long as you continue holding the Choshen, wearing the Choshen, holding these Badim, you continue to be over the Leizach and the Leisurul Mimena. The Orech Lener disagrees with the Ritva and says, no, that the Yisr is only the initial removal, and it's talking about a case which is even more difficult to fathom. He's saying, what happens if the Kohen Gadol is standing with the Aron HaKodesh next to that field that this person is plowing, and as he plows the field, he goes and hits the Kohen's chest so that the Choshen is now removed from the Ephod, and similarly he bangs against the Aron HaKodesh so that the Badim fall off of the Aron, or they get removed from the Aron. So that's the case. How likely is that there should be a Kohen Gadol with an Aron out in the field in a Kerem where he is now plowing?
Which is a piece of Tumah.
Oh, you said according to Mizat Tumah, etc., etc. So therefore, it's a little bit of a difficult, at least it's a hypothetical question, but it's not very practical. A little bit of a stretch. Good. Maskul Ravashi, Veleshev Nami HaChodesh Ba'atzi HaShera. Oh, this is already easier. The plow had to be made of materials, so presumably part of the plow was made with pieces of wood, and even if not, presumably you can make a plow out of wood, or at least part of it out of wood. And so therefore, what happens if he used the Atzi Asher, which is supposed to be burned and destroyed? What did he use it for? For his plowing? Oh, so he's having Hanno'ah from Atzi Asher. So that would be another Isser. You're now that I have any Shaykhs to Atzi Asher, and he's using it. So you'd have another Isser. What happens if in this kerem there happens to have been perhaps even the vines of the kerem itself, or perhaps other trees which are ilone ma'achol? The Gemara refers to these ilone stoivos. Perhaps that's again a borrowed term, because all of you that made the bracha on the ilonois now in Chodesh Nisim, where they start to bud again, and we only make the bracha on ilone ma'achol, not on stam ilonois. So the bracha is Avoiri Ilonai Stoivais. Ah, so maybe that's where the expression comes from. But he means Iloni Machel, an Eitz Machel, and now by plowing he knocked it down. Maybe you don't need to have a Fremde tree growing here. Maybe just cutting down some of the vines of the Kerem itself might be over the issue. But regardless, the point is, Vazeros Mihacha Kimimenu Saichal Ba'oisele Sechreis. So I can add yet another love to our Mishnah. After all, talking on Yontif, so he's going to make a shvua that I will not be Chodesh this coming Yontif. And guess what? He was Chodesh on Yontif. And therefore, isn't the Oiva yet another Isur of violating his shvua? So on this one, the Gemara says, I have an answer. You can only make a shvuah on something which is neutral in the sense that it's not a mitzvah, it's not an aveira. Here you're making a shvuah on something which is already osir. You're saying, I'm going to make a shvuah, I'm making a shvuah, that I'm not going to be chorish and yontif. Mister, you can't be chorish and yontif anyway. And therefore we have a rule that ain't shvuah chalal shvuah. This is not a shvuah that you made. It's a shvuah which is mujmu ba'im me'ar sinai. So therefore your new shvuah is not going to be ha. That being the case, I don't have an additional isser. So the Gemara says that kasha l'nishka kasha.
How about shvua l'shav?
Shvua l'shav, and that is?
Meaning, if you're making this type of shvua where you can't, and you're saying God's name, isn't that rendering God's name in vain?
Let's say you're 100% right, but he didn't do this b'shas the harisha. In other words, on Yom Tov morning, or on Erev Yom Tov, he makes a shvua. This Yontif, I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to go to shul. I'm going to listen to the laning. I'm going to participate in howl. I'm not going to do any farming, no harisha, no plowing in the field. And I swear I'm not going to go and make any such plowing. So now, let's assume, like you say, that it has a status of shul shav. He'd be over then, but he wouldn't be over at the time of the harisha.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to find another Isser at the time of the harisha. We want to add number 9 and 10, etc. No question.
A shvua of Shlo Echrosh is a chai of korban olav yored. Is a chai of malchus if you're over it? Is a chai of a korban?
Person who makes a false shvua, or any shvua that he does not have a kind.
All the things I will eat, I won't eat.
So do you get malchus on that?
I'm not sure. That's my question. Is that a Malkus level? Or is that it's a Chatras Olav Yored?
Okay, let's go back a couple of glad ago. What's the question?
Why is it a Malkus penalty, or is it, carbon? Since it's a carbon Olav Yored,
you make a shua
not to do something, and then you do it. Uh-huh. You're chayav carbon Olav Yored.
Please, please return to Daf Tes Vov Amid Bey. What did it say in the Gemara on that last four lines? The Itmar. Shvur, shoych, shvur. Shoych, ki kaze hayom va'over hayom v'loy achchola.
It's machlokas of...
Or because it's a lav and nitik lase. So you have three separate reasons. But that's only under those circumstances. Yeah, but otherwise, if you mistamek a shvur, you are susceptible to...
Thank you.
So, getting back to our Gemara, so Frank the Gemara, so the Chor, this Shavua is not Chal, so the Chor, your Kasha, Nishka Kasha. So he tries to reinforce his Kasha. I'm like, you're going to Om Shavua, Shli Akrish, Bein Bechoil, Bein Beyontif. He makes a Shavua that I'm not going to do Harisha either on Yontif or also on Erev Yontif or Isruchat. And those days you're allowed to do Harisha, it's no problem. So Rashi says, not Rashi, the Rivan, this is called an Isr Koilo. It's not an Isr Moisa, but it's an Isr Koilo. And we have a Rivan that explains what's the difference between Isr Koilo and Isr Moisa. But basically, an Isr Koilo means that you're adding more to the Isr. Until now, the Isr was only on Yom Tov. Now, by my Shavua, I'm adding Erev Yom Tov, or day after Yom Tov, or a week before, whatever day is adding the Koil day. So even though he didn't do anything vis-a-vis Yom Tov, but since the Shavua is going to be Chal on the Chol day, Mamele, the Migra Chol Alei Shavua, B'Chol, Chol Alei Nami, B'Yom Tov. So therefore, it would be Chal after all. Freit Yimora, needed the Issa, so now you have a good Takasha, so why didn't we add that Shavua case to our Mishnah? The Yimora Mishnah needed the Issa, B'Shei Leik Tani. We don't want to go and get involved in things which can be reversed. Because anytime you make a Shavua, you can go to the Bezin, and you can go meet Matan Neder. So we don't want to get involved in those types of things, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Frekimor v'loy, v'ari hegdish. After all, didn't the second case was shor v'chamor v'hein muktoshin? And the Gemara assumes in the Havamina, how did they become hegdish? Because somebody was maktish the shor v'chamor. And any time that you make something hegdish, you can be shoyel ala hegdish. So that being the case, so you see that our Mishnah is talking about cases which are susceptible to she'ela. Says the Gemara, you forgot the Rivan of yesterday. We're not talking about that you were Makdish an animal, you're talking about the Bechor, where Kedushasoy made Rechem, you didn't make a Shavua, and you can't go and undo the Kedush of a Bechor by being Shoyel ala Hegdish, because you're not Makdish it, because the Bonk was Makdish it, made it into Bechor. Frank Gemara. But another case we had at the end of the Mishnah was the Nazir case. The Bahari Nazir, you can go and be Shoyel on your Naziris, go to a Bezid and say, I thought I'd be able to hold out for 30 days not drinking wine, and I'm devastated, I'm going berserk, I'm going crazy, I have to drink the wine. And the Bezin will hopefully find a Pesach Harata, and then they'll be matrit. So you see that we do include those things which are susceptible to Sheila. So Zimur HaMishnah is talking about Nozer Shimshon. What's Nozer Shimshon? We know Shimshon was a Nozer from the outset, from Ab initio as he was born, and explains Rivon, he became a Nozer Ayidei Malach, right? The Malach came and said, it's a shame that Simi's not here, because that's the Haftorah on Parshas Nozer. It talks about the Malach. And since the Malach was the one that was Mekabel Nazira, so to speak, on behalf of Shimshon, it says, Rivon, Ein Loi Shailet. And that you cannot go and be Shoyel on that Naziris. Tziva Shalom Malachu. That's the Rabbeinu Shalom Tzivoi. Maybe the Rabbi Shalom Kaviyachol could go be matir his neder bebezin shomala, but unless he advises us, if he's another Shimshon, you're stuck. So therefore, our Mishnah is talking about another Shimshon. For Eitimora, if another Shimshon, it says in the Mishnah that he cannot go and be metamet. Beisatuma, that was number 8 of your list. Another Shimshon barat muila meisimu. Another Shimshon is allowed to be metamet meisim. It's a different type of naziris than regular. How do I know that Nazir knows the Shimshon bar Tamui LeMesim?
The Shimshon himself was on the time of the Mesim.
He was killing people.
Left and right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you go back to the Rivan, in fact brings one of those psukim, one of those where he took 150,
jawbone or whatever.
Exactly,
jawbone of a donkey,
and he killed 150. So you see that he was metamala mesim. So Rivon brings it. That's the Gemara Masechet Nozir, and the Gemara said for the posik is nishkaraya, because when it says that he went and killed 150, not necessarily he killed them on the spot. Shavinu goisisin, he made them all as if they're on their deathbed, and they all passed away 3 hours later or an hour later. But by that time, he was no longer
very convenient.
Yeah. So Gemara says, you're right, from the psukim you don't have an absolute right, but Gemara, we have the Masoida that Shimshon was in fact allowed to metam lemeisim. If our Mishnah is talking about Nozer Shimshon, then he would be able to metam lemeisim. And then number 8 would come off. Zokti Gemara, Ella Haitana Isser Koil Lesle. The whole reason why, we go back to the original question. The original question was, why are we talking about that he made a Shvuah? And that would be number 9. And you said, Shvuah wouldn't be Chal because of the fact that it's Mujvoyim Me'asinayo. Oh, it'll Chal through the mechanic of the Isser Koil, Choil and Koilish. And then the Gemara started saying, well, it's Isser Shaila. And then we got off on a tangent, was not the Shimshin, etc. So the Gemara said, let's go back to the original point. The standard doesn't hold an Isser Koil. And since Ein Shvuah Chal al Shvuah, the Shvuah which is Mujvoyim Me'asinayo, so therefore we don't have number 9. So that Kasha, Mishka Kasha. What does the Gemara do with all of the earlier Kashas? The Gemara does not give a response. The Gemara just leaves them as Kashas. How can it leave it as Kashas? After all, each one of them, that's another good point, we should have thrown it into the
Mishnah.
See, if you remember, the Gemara said yesterday, Amud Beis, that it's Tana V'Shaya. We didn't mean to go and give an exhaustive list of every potential Isser in the Torah. There are potentially others like all of them that we mentioned in the Gemara. Moichi Kesashem, it's possible that there was a klaf with it. He went into the Zriya Benachal Esan. Yes, it's possible, but Tana V'Shaya. Only problem is that the Gemara asked, Haitana said Ktoni Shmoina, the Atamis Tana V'Shaya, the fact that the Mishnah strained to say we got 8 and piled them all on. So you see, he was trying to go and maximize the number. How do you go and say Tana V'Shaya? And the Gemara said, Miskerecht. The Gemara didn't give an answer to that question. Well, remember, however, that what was the additional number 9 that we wanted to add? We wanted to go and add Zareya Biyontif. If we had Choydish Biyontif, we wanted to add Zareya Biyontif. And the Gemara said, Tana B'Shaya, come on. Say Shmoyna, Atam is Tana B'Shaya. So, you couldn't say in our Gemara the same thing. I can say Tana B'Shaya. At the Tana says Shmoyna Batas Gom B'Shaya. So the Mephoshim say there's a fundamental difference between all the cases that we're talking about today and the cases of the Mishnah. Since the Mishnah starts off, we're talking about a Choyrish, and it says we're talking about Beyontiv, so it's logical to say, oh, what was the Charisha Beyontiv? Was Yontiv when he was doing Charisha? But we said that he is also Oivra and Kiloya Kerem, because some of the earth is getting dislodged and is springing, is jumping on top of the seeds, and therefore it's causing now that these seeds will become and embedded and meshurash and rooted into the ground, and as a result, you're going to have Kloya Kerem growing out. So that's also a form of Zereya. So this is not a from left field remote type of question. This is Negea to the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says Chorish Biyontim, it should add Zereya Biyontim. Tana B'Shaya. Come on, give me a break. We're talking about 8, and this is so logical to add to the equation. Vadam is Tana B'Shaya, and then he had to go and give the teretz of Yeshchut Malach and B'Shabbos. There's no Chilik Malachas and Yomtiv, and therefore Zereya and Chorish and Koitzer. All of them is just one big Yomtiv Isur. So that's why there to go and say Tana B'Shaya is a stretch. Here in our Gemara, you can say Tana B'Shaya. Yes, it's certainly possible if I was going to go through the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvahs and go through every single mitzvah, if I go through the Chinuch, I would find additional ones. But the Mishnah was not intended to be totally exhaustive, but rather to talk about quote-unquote normal cases, not a case of a Kohen Gadol together with the Oroin out in the field, and it was knocked off as a result of the Chavish. Okay, so with this we've concluded that long list, and now the Gemara is going to tell us something we're going to see shortly. The Rivon, this is going to be here raising Rabbi Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael. Gemara has two halachas, one of Rabbi Yisrael and then of Rabbi Yitzchak. Boishi says Hamarbia Shor Psuli Hamikdoshim Loike Shnai. A person who's Marbia. Marbia means to go and put together two minim and be Marbia them. That's says in the Torah that the Hem Techoloi Sarbia Kiloyim. You're not allowed to do Kiloyim of mixing together two minim. So if you bring a male ox and a female sheep or other animals and you marbia them together, you're oivar nisr. Says our Gemara, what did he do is marbia shor psuli hamikdashim, but it doesn't say what the other animal is. Now, first of all, what is psuli hamikdashim? Psuli hamikdashim means that this shor, a person was makdish to bring for a carbon, and then it developed a mum. Since it developed a mum, you cannot bring it for a carbon anymore. On the other hand, you can't just go and use it for chulin. You have to be poided. How you poided? You figure out what the value is of this animal. You take that money and you're going to go and bring, for instance, a substitute carbon. And once you're poided, then this animal reverts to being chulin. But it's not totally chulin. It's chulin plus. What do you mean chulin plus? There are still averois or still indisha or halachas of kedusha that apply to this animal. What are you referring to? So the Yerivan quotes Psukim in the Torah, and it says in the Pasuk about this type of animal that Psuli Hamikdashim. What's the Kimamokim Shantala? What's the full Lashon? Tizbach V'yachalta Basar. That this animal now you can love it. Tizbach, you can shecht it. V'yachalta, you can eat it. Basar. Meat. So what does that mean? Tizbach V'yachalta Basar. So Yimor Dajit. Tizbach V'loy Giza. What happens if this was a shepsela, a lamb, sheep, and it had a lot of wool on its back? And you were makdish it for a cart, and you were going to bring it for a cart. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. So, why? Because it developed a mum, so you appointed. Now, tizbach, you can shecht it for the giza, but you're not allowed to go and use the giza meaning the shearings of the wool, for any purpose. Kedusha still is retained in the giza, and the same thing applies to avoida.
Yeah. But not in the meat. You can eat the meat.
You can eat the meat. Good.
I mean, Batahor Yachta, we had that previously.
I'm sorry, Nachum?
We had that, said you could eat in the same kara.
Tommy Vitor Yachta, Katzvi, Ayo. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we're going to get to that shortly. But in the meantime, we're only talking about this part of the pasuk that says, Tizbach v'yichal tebasar, and the more darsh in Tizbach, v'lo giza v'lo avoida. You can only shecht it. You cannot work with the animal. And tizbach v'yachalta v'loy l'klavecha, yet you cannot go and use any of that meat for your dogs or for your animals. And basar v'loy cholav, you cannot go and milk the animal. If it was a female animal and it has udders and you want to go and use it to use the milk, you cannot.
Isn't there like tzar balei chayim? Doesn't it need to be milked at some point?
It doesn't
point?
Say that you cannot milk it. It says you cannot use the milk. And the milk, yes, take away the tzar, but don't go and drink it afterwards, homogenize it and pasteurize it, and then go and drink Chol of Yisrael. You cannot, because it's
the
Yichal
to Basar. If it has a baby,
good. But getting back to Argumar. So now I have this Shor Psul Midoshi. Now let it be Marbia. With whom and with what are you not allowed to be Marbia? Says the Rivon, Afilu Im Minoi. What means Afilu Im Minoi? What happens if you have a male Psuli Hamikdashim, a shor is a male, and you now have, besides that, a para Psuli Hamikdashim, which you're also going to go and bring for a carbon, also became a mum. So now we have a match made in heaven, a shor and a para, an ox with a cow, male and a female. Okay. You cannot. Why not? Because it's kilayim. What is the kilayim? Says the Rivon, he's marbia chulin al kochim, a kochim al chulin.
Wow.
That the fact that each one of them is chulin the kochim together, we just said now it's chulin plus, so call it like chotzi kochim, reminiscent of a chutzi evet, chutzi ben choirin. You have the same thing over here too. Is a chutzi evet, chutzi ben choirin allowed to go and marry a chutzi shivcha, chutzi bas choirin? And the answer is no. Why not? Because the half which is an Eved cannot live with a Bas Chayrin, and the half that is a Shivcha cannot live with a Ben Chayrin. So here too, you have that same concept. That's why I said that this is here raising. You all think you were poo-pooing it. Ah, that's what we're talking about. If you look at the Rivan, we won't go through the whole thing, but if you look at five lines into the wide lines, in the middle of the line, the Hilkach Osel Harbiya. Everybody have that, Brother Shai? In the middle of the fifth line. Even with its own min. In other words, Tishor Mitapara, one psulim, the other psulim, Mishim Kilayim, Shemarbiya Chul Al Kachin, Oy Kachin Al Chulin. Okay, well now let's stop over here for a moment. Let's go to the next case. And the next case is even going to be more hair-raising. Then, Omer Reb Yitzchak, Hamanik B'Shor P'Sulim Mekdashim. What happens if you have a Shor P'Sulim Mekdashim and you're Manik? Manik means that you lead it in the field to go and do Melocha in the field. Not two. We have Leisach Rosh B'Shor V'Chamor Yachdav, right? Two separate minim. That's Osir Kilayim. That was one of the Yisurim that we had in our Mishnah, with the eight. You're going to take one sharp psulim mikdashim, you're going to have it plow in the field, you're going to get malchus. What did I do wrong? Shari guf echadu, it's only one guf. Vasoya kosov kishnei gufim, but the Torah makes it into two gufim by saying that it's ashtikel chulin and ashtikel kachim. So chulin and kachim are now working the field together. It's kilayim. Continue on the same rivan. Five lines from the bottom. Vachim manik. Afilim manik im minoi. Vafilim manik bifnei atzmoi. By the marbia, you had to have two. There's no such thing as
self-insemination. Singular conception?
Yeah, something. Immaculate conception.
Ah,
that you can't have. So, how is this animal going to impregnate? It's got to be two animals together. To be marbia, by definition, you have to have two animals. By manik, even if it's not one animal alone, chul mekachemu, chay mishim kilayim, techarishu atzmoy, kilayim shason hagol kosef shnei gufim. Says the Rivan, even I find difficulty. It's a bit schwer, these gemaras. That's what the Rivan concludes. I know that two different minim, ashor metachamor, and even if it happens to be two kosher minim, ashor metaseh, that I can take. But here, this one animal, because it's chul mekachim together, it's kilay. A bit schwer. So Tosis says, the Rivon says it's shver, abes nish azoy giferlich. Why? And now we go back to the pasuk that Brother Shai quoted before. Hatomei vator yachtov yoichlenu katzvi v'cho ayol. That's where the kosim made into shnei gufim. Why did Torah have to say about shor psulim mikdashim or any carbon that gets a mum that you can eat it katzvi v'chayol? Eat it like a tzvi. I mean, why does the Torah say katzvi v'chayol? In other words, just like a chaya, which is not ro'i for a carbon, you cannot go and be makdish at tzvi v'ayol to bring on the mizbeach. It can be makdish at tzvi v'ayol, but not for a carbon, because it's not ro'i for a carbon. So, therefore, what the Torah is really trying to stress is, you can eat it like eating a chaya meat, a kosher chaya, obviously, like a tzvi. We need a tzvi v'ayol. Tzvi v'ayol tells you that the animal has a status like a mixture of tzvi v'ayol. Chulin v'kodshim is like two minim in the same animal. I see the second choice before the end. Shariguf echad hakuntres pirish kigir sasay, like you learned the Gemara. Rabbeinatam pirish beinyan acher. Kimin choymer means in a very easy way. Tichsiv bei, because it says katzvi v'chayol shehim beis minim. So the beis minim is not referring to chulin v'kodshim; it's referring to tzvi v'chayol. Ubeze hapirish miyushav adamrim bebechayus. We don't have a Gemara Bechoydus in front of us, but when you open up the Gemara Bechoydus, it says over there, Tlosa Tzviv Ayol Ksivi Boy. Three times the Torah uses that expression that you can go and eat the Shor Psulim Mekdashim Katsviv Chayol, and I learned three halachas from that. What are the three halachas? Says the Gemara, Chad Likr B'Yitzchak, Chad Likr B'Yoshia, and then the third one is Reb Lozer HaKapar. And the Gemara explains what Reb Lozer HaKapar is halacha that he learns from the Tzvi Vayol. And the Rashi there in Mesechtes Bechoyrus says, "Upinish Hakuntres leisparish lemulsayu." That's how Tosis learns it. The Gemara, the Rashi, actually the lashon is leisparish heichen koi. Who is this Reb Yitzchak? Who is this Reb Yoshia? Says Rashi, I have no idea what we're talking about that we learned Katsvi Vayol. But now, according to the Bein Etam's Pshat, says Givaldik, the Reb Yitzchak and Reb Yoshia is our. The Reb Yeshua is a mistake. Reb Yitzchak and Reb Yoshia is our Gemara. The Reb Yoshia and Reb Yitzchak said, "What do I learn from the Tzvi Vayol? Number one, that if you marbia two behemoth pali mumin, which were kodesh loike, why you like it, because you might be the two together. By the way, in argument it's like Shnayim, many of the Kisviyad take out the word Shnayim, because you just like it on the Lisachrish Bishor V'chamor Yachtov, or not really, not Lisachrish, sorry, on the Din of Behemtucha Lisaviyah Kelayim, that you put the two together. You put them together, you're not like Shnayim, you're only like one. Some say that the like Shnayim is because you're doing Avoida with the Shor Tzulim Midrashim. What avoid are you doing? That you're forcing the animal to produce other animals, which is reminiscent that we have the Gabe, for instance, an Eved, that he works for you both during the day and at night. How does he work for you at night? That you're allowed to go and have him go and live with a Shivcha to go and produce future offspring. So that's also considered avoida. So that's the Loikishnayim, number one, the Marbia, and number two, bringing future offspring into the world. Anyway, bottom line is, says the Gemara, says Toisvis, that's the Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yishe, that the Gemara B'chari is referring to, they learned from the Tzvi of Ayol. And we continue on to the next Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah Vayta. Our whole Masecht is dealing with Makis. Now, for the first time, the Mishnah goes into the details of how many Malkis, and where, and when, and what, as you'll see. It's just reminiscent of other Gemaras. You have Masecht is Gittin. You have a whole Masechta and the Hilchas Gittin, and then we finally get to the text of the Get in the last 2-3 blot of the Masechta. See here too, what means Makis? Kama Malkinoi, say how many? Aboyim Choser Achas. The maximum is 39. Shnemar, because it says Bamispar, and it says Arboyim. Now, it doesn't really say Bamispar Arboyim, it's really two psukim together. If you look at number 10 in the Torah or Hashalim, he brings Im bin Russia. If the Bezin decides he gets Malkis, the Pilar Shoifet Vikola Fanav, how many can they Rish Osoi the Mispar? According to the number of his Rishes. Period. Next Pasik. Arboim Yakano Lo Yosef. Maximum is 40. Why? Ben Yosef Lakois Alele Makarabo Beniklo Chichmenach. Obviously, on the surface, the Torah is telling you that the maximum number of Malkis is 40. However, Chazal Darshind, it's not 40, it's the Misper Arboim. And we put together the previous Pasik and the second Pasik. And the Misper Arboim, Chazal, are teaching, like we have in the Gemara often, Ad Veloy Ad Bechlal. You get to the Misper that reaches Arboim, but you stop before you get there. Continue to go back to the Mishnah. Shneim Misper Arboim, Minyan Shu Samach Arboim. You get to a Misper, a Minyan, that approaches 40. You're at 39. But you don't hit 40, you stop at 39. However, Budaimer, Arboim Shleim is a Leiker. No, it's a full 40. Heichadu Leiker, where is he going to put the 40th? What's the problem? On the Omid Beis Mishnah, we're going to learn at the final Mishnah on the bottom that they used to, that the Makkah who gave, who was the one that administered the Malkis, he would go and give one lash on the front, on the chest area, and the other two on the back. And therefore, you always have to be, the Malkis have to be mishtalish, like we'll see on the next line of the Mishnah. They have to be in groups of three. So if, for instance, the Bezin decides, based on a medical assessment, that he cannot take a full 39, then we have to decide how many can he endure. And it's got to be in threes. 3, 6, 9, 12. For instance, if the doctor says the maximum this person can take is 10, then we stop at 9. We don't give him 9 plus 1, because it's got to be in 3s. So that's good if you have 39, so 13 times 3. But what happens if you have 40? Zoktach, yeah, it's Rabbi Yehuda, the 40th, you're going to go and do in a special place, like a Yisera Ben Ksefa, between his shoulders. What's this based on? We'll see Mitchum on the Gemara and the Amid Beis, based on a Pasuk. Ein Umdan Uyse Elamakas Ru Uyusli Hishtalish. Like we just said, it's got to be in trios, in 3s. Amdula Kabel Arboim. Okay, so now what the Mishnah is telling us is what happens if they initially did one oimid, one assessment, and then they changed the assessment midstream. So, they said he can go and take, the doctor said he can take 40, and therefore they decide we're going to go and give him 39. Veloike miktsas, and they already gave him miktsas, they already gave him 9, they already gave him 12, 15, whatever. And then they see Nemach, this guy is soon going to be a goisis. And they said, bring the doctors back. He just can't. If you're going to wait until 39, you're going to have to call the Chevra Kadisha. What's it then? Potter. You stop right over there. Even if the doctors would say he can still take another 3 or 6, makes no difference. Once he's gotten his share, And the doctor said, oh, but he can't do that full 39. Potri stops over there. The reason we're going to see Mechem in the Gemara and in the Rivan is because he's already had his bizyoinis. He was already Mekayim v'niklo chichalei necha based on the original umdana, and we already gave him Pech. Now when we say that the first umdana was wrong, we stop and say, okay, he was Yoitza, and he doesn't have to endure anymore. We're going to talk about this one anymore. Sorry?
Somebody is higher three times or four times loki. He's 120.
We're going to talk about that also anymore. Very good point. We're going to talk about that. Continues the Mishnah. Amdu l'kabel shmoneh esrei. What happens if the other way around? We looked at him as if he's a weakling. We said, maximum he can get a shmoneh esrei, 18. Umishalot, and when we see that we keep on giving him malchus, he's standing there strongly. Gizint, exactly. And then amdu shiachu l'kabel abam. We said, you know what? There's no reason why we can't give him the full 39. Sorry, mister. But once we give him the first 18, then we're done. He doesn't have to do any more. We'll talk about that more again in the Gemara. Zoktimar, my time. How do you get this 39 after all? The Torah says, Arboim Yaken, when you tell me 39. Iksiv Arboim Ben Mispor, if it would say the number that you give him as Arboim is the number, Havamina, I would go and say, Taka, Arboim Ben Minyan, Taka, 40. The Mispar Avoyim, it's almost like Kim Mispar Avoyim, almost like the Mispar Avoyim, but not 40. Up to, but not including, as a Advalay Advachal. Minyan Shu Soichem Esra Avoyim. It's a minyan that comes to a full total amount that approaches and gets to the Avoyim. Presumably, the more means is, what do we need the word Bemispar for at all? The Pasuk just simply go and say, how we call the fun of Kinei Rishasai, Arboim Yakenu. This is the Bemispar. Bemispar means that there's some sort of total, some amount that you've come up to, which gets you up till, but not including 40. Amarav Sarav, it says now, very famous Chazal, Kamatib Shoish Arinchi. Look how people are silly. The Kaimi Mekame Sefer Torah, when they take a Sefer Torah out of the urn, everybody stands up. When a Greece Talmud Chochem comes in, then they don't stand up a fool, or some may not stand up at all. Some will close their eyes, like in the subway, as if, you know, nobody's coming. What do I know? I'm sleeping. They see the koyich of Chazal, the koyich of the Rabbanon, that even though the Torah uses the expression Arboim, nah, we really mean 39. And when Chazal say that that's Daloch and that's Burden Rambam and Shulchan Aruch and Zaka 39. So therefore, they, in a sense, are greater than the Sefer Torah themselves because they can go, quote unquote, change what it says in the Torah. Chas v'shalom, they didn't change anything, but they darshan it to lighten the burden on Ayid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Arboim Shleimois, 40 full. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, he says it's not 39, but it's 40. And what do I do with the 40th? It's between the shoulders. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Then my time of the Rabbi Yehuda is not going on the Arboim, because that's the easy one. Shteitach Arboim Yaken. The question is, how did he know that the 40th, you don't continue doing on the chest or on the back, but you do it bein ksefa, between the shoulders? Because another pasuk, Ma'amaka Sa'ila ben Yudecha v'Omar Asher, Hukesi beis Ma'avai. This is talking about a Novi HaSheker, and we say to him, hey, what are those malkas that you got? It must be because you said Nevu HaSheker, and there were two Edom that gave you Hasra, the malkas, they gave you malkas. And he said, no, these malkas were friendly malkas. Hukesi beis Ma'avai. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves me so much, he doesn't want me to err or to sin, so therefore he gave me some malkas. Okay, that's the pshat in the pasuk. But what is the makas eil ben yodecha, between your hands, between your arms? Well, you don't have makas between your arms. You have on the front, you have on the back. Or as the Chassidim says, the Gemara like Rabbi Yehuda, that the 40th you do between the shoulders, and therefore that's between the arms, which are compose the shoulders. So that's his right. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, you have a good pasuk, but it has nothing to do with us. I will be tonek shabbos. Rabbanu Tachsev is talking about kids in school, if they are misbehaving, and sometimes you have to give them a friendly patch, so you give the patch on the hand, then Yudecha does nothing to do with the Malkis of Bezin. So, sorry, Rabbi Yehuda, we disagree with your right.
So, Rabbi Yehuda's taking it from Zechariah, so it's Zechariah. So
he's saying the 40 is, because it says in the Pasuk of Bami Akenu. Where do we inflict the 40th, since he also agrees in threes? Okay. So, that 40th one we do between the Yudecha, between the ketefayim, between the shoulders, which were shoulders is a continuation of the arms. He's saying that that's based on that pasuk.
Where is that? I mean, the shoulders are, there's a right side and a left side. We only have one here.
Between the middle.
The middle is his head.
No, but the back probably, right? I give him the threes. It's one in the front and two in the back,
the midpoint.
Right?
In the next edition of the article, there's going to be a picture, but it's going to be the right side and left side.
The how-to guy.
I don't like the whole idea of it.
I don't like the giving Malkus
corporal punishment in general.
Yeah, the best thing would be people should not err and not sin, exactly. And we wouldn't have any Malkus.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, these things happen. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to our Gemara and back to the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to ask a stira between our Mishnah and a Braisa. What's a stira? Remember, we said in the Mishnah, what happens if they, shall I say, miscalculated or misassessed? And we had two cases. We started off initially, they assessed them for 40, and they gave them, v'loike mitzvah, they gave them some of the malchus, and then they changed their assessment, and they said, this guy can't get 40. But the second case was the reverse. They first gave him an oymid for 18, we see that he's as strong as an ox, and mishaloka, and after he got his 18, they said, you know what, you can continue going on. You can go till the 39, he's going to survive. Said the Mishnah, parted. Both of the cases, both in the Reisha and the Sefer, we're talking about that he was already loka to a certain extent. That was the Lashon HaMishnah. Umishaloka tzas, and here too, umishaloka. We're going to have a Braisa now that the Braisa is not going to differentiate between loka and loy loka. As the Gemara says, our Mishnah says, dafka loka in. That's when we say he's potter, when he already had some of the Malkus, and they realized that we have to make a brand new assessment. Loy loka, smash. What happens if he didn't get any malchus yet? In other words, they had given out that first assessment. And before we start, the malchus, the executioner or the administrator says, I think we should go to another opinion because he looks either schwacher, he looks better. So, mashma from our Mishnah, that's not the case. The case is only when he already endured some of the malchus. So, loka in loy loka loy. Or a minute, let's bring up Raisa. Umdu le kabler aboyim. Notice we didn't say that anything to do with Malkus Loka in between. They originally made one Oymid, and then they made a second opinion, the second Oymid, Shein Yochel Kabel Boim. Potter! He's Potter. What is he Potter from? We'll see. Amdul Kabel Shmoin Esrei. That's like the safe of the Mishnah. Initially we said he can do 18. V'chozru Amdu Shein Yochel Kabel Boim is Potter. So you see, I have a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah says, one is a potter and potter, dafki is loka mitzas. Here the Braisa says, makes no difference. The Braisa doesn't mention anything about loka. It says they made a second oymid, potter, potter. It's a chastir. Amar of Sheshon Leikash. Hamda udu li yoymei, hadu amdu le machu li yoyma uchra. Li yoymei really should be with an extra hay at the end. Yoymei means for that date itself, for that day. While the Braisa is talking about for tomorrow or for a later date. What's shot over here? So we have a lengthy Rivan. The bottom line the Rivan says is, if you had two Oymdin on the same day, how did the person change so radically from 9 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock? The person was in the same health at 9 at the same time at 10 or at 11, it's the same day. Highly unlikely that there was a major change in this person's body structure, or his susceptibility to pain and to this type of lashes, etc. And therefore we have to assume that the first oymed that was done was faulty. It was a big to'us, garnished. Aha. So that being the case, if he has already endured his sum of the malchus, both put in the ratio or the sefer, both we initially said 40 and we said he can only do 18, or we said 18 and we now say 40, since he's already endured some of the pain and some of the suffering, we say, okay, the first oymid was worthless, throw it out. Normally, let's go now based on the second umdana. Says Rivan, since he's already been nizbaza in bezin, he's already endured bizyoinus. What's the pasuk say at the end of someone who gets malchus? It says, the nikla ochicha le'enecha, nebuch, he's now
ashamed.
He's shamed. Embarrassed, publicly humiliated. So therefore, stop. But, however, if they didn't do any humiliation yet, in the sense that they haven't inflicted any malchus, so guess what? Just forget about the first umdana and go straight to the second umdana. So that's why our Mishnah says, only look at tzas, then you're potter. Why you're potter? Because normally I would say the first omen obviously was wrong. On the same day, there should be a difference between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and we say here 40, the other 18. That the first one, I know that an argument could be made, maybe the second one was faulty, but the Gemara is assuming that they did the second omen because they were, I guess they were skeptical about the first. When they got the new omen, they said, you see, that's the real McCoy. The first one is nothing. So, if he's already gotten certain malchus already, even though the second oimid says it, for instance, in the Sefer, he could endure more, since he's already been nispaza, we just dismiss the case. Kaitzahein.
That's his good luck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Elo mazo.
Yeah. However, if they didn't inflict any of the malchus yet, so then we're going to throw away the first, and we're going to upgrade him, not upgrade, whatever, we're going to give him now the second. The second oimid will be the one that will guide us from now in terms of giving him further malchus. That's why our Mishnah said he already received the malchus. What's the case of the Braisa? The Braisa is not the oimid, but it's lemochel yoima ochra, means for tomorrow or the next day. Ah, so today on Wednesday morning they gave him one oimid, but they decided today we're not going to give malchus for whatever reason. Maybe he had to go to chasana that night. Maybe he had to go to a doctor's appointment. Whatever the reason is, we didn't give him malchus that day. This is not like Misa that is Ini Adin, you have to do it the same day. You can wait a day or two or three. Okay, so on Wednesday morning they decided, they got the umdana, and they said, well, it's not convenient, maybe the person who's supposed to administer the lashes is busy today, we're going to do it next Sunday, next Monday. Before they actually do the actual inflicting of the lashes, they, on that Sunday or Monday, they say, you know what, it would be a good idea, a few days have passed, let's get another umdan, another medical report. And that medical report shows something different than the first one, like the ratio of the Sefer. Instead of 40, they say you can only do 18. Instead of 18, you can go and do 40, like we had the case of Mishnah. Over here, it makes no difference whether loka or loylaka, meaning what we say is not that the first one was faulty. The first one was good. But over the last few days, he may have had a change in his medical condition. Maybe over eight, it was Yom Tov, and he ate and ate and ate and ate, and now he gained 25 pounds, and now he can barely move. If you're going to go and give him a few lashes, he won't be able to stand up.
Or it could be that all that extra weight protects him, and he can bear more malchus.
Oh, that could also be. In other words, it may have been a change. So we don't automatically reject that first umdana saying that was faulty, but what we're saying is his situation has changed, and now we're going with that new umdana. Ah, since we're going with the new umdana, that's why the nature of the yoloka nishloka, that is already not so key. If you look at the, it's a long rivan, we'll just do the second one, which is parallel to the next two mishnayos. It says, it's upraisa, it's halfway down the arm. Upraisa, it's omidim du lamachar lamayim uchra, liyayim acher, du vade oimid gomer hu, shiofa ainu, they did a good job, sheyochel zel lekabel ad oisi yoim, kach v'kach makos. The first umdana was fine. It was good, competent doctors. He could have endured so many. Al nishtana v'hichish. But between that first umdana and by the time they were ready to go and actually give him the malchus, situation has changed and he's become weakened. Maybe overnight he had a heart attack, chas v'shalom, or whatever it was. Hilkach ki omdu le'arboim ad yoim ployni. U'kishi yoim ployni omdu she'en yochel le'kabel. Here it says kulam. The Rishash changes the girsa. She'ini yochel lekabel klum. He's no longer able. He's a so shvach. Oymed rishon, oymed gomer hay. It was a good oymed. V'hoil v'nishtane v'niskalka. Since the person has gotten shvacher, she'ini yochel lekabel. He's potter. Avu bishal loylaka. Even though he didn't have any malchus at all, but if the new oymed is, he cannot take it. That's why he changes the girsa. She'ini yochel lekabel klum. Ekonish. Even though then, a few days ago, he was able. But the mind said, today you want to administer the lashes today? You can't. He already had the bizyoinus. Even though he didn't have the bizyoinus of the lashes, he had the bizyoinus of that report. That's the ratio. If they said he can go and take 18 from now until then, and guess what? That now, Baruch Hashem, he has a taken some exercises and some therapy, and he's much stronger now. Then we assume that the oimid was good. It was a fine, a good, outstanding oimid, and we're going to rely on the first oimid, and we're not going to go and change it. So he gets the benefit of the first oimid. It was only the case of our Mishnah, where obviously two oimdin for the same day, the first one must have been faulty. He didn't change his skeletal nature, the structure of his body within the last hour or two. But if it's over several days, it could be that he got stronger or he got schwacher. And therefore, if he didn't have any malchus until now, we say that the first oimid was a good oimid, even though the first oimid only gave him 18. And now the new oimid said he can go and endure 39. Again, mazel gorim, he has a good mazel, and he only gets the first one. So when it says in the price of potter, it doesn't mean he's totally potter, it means we'll give him that first oimid, which was the more lenient oimid, because it was good, nothing wrong with it.
Even though they haven't given anything yet.
I'm sorry?
Even though they haven't given him anything.
Even though they didn't give him anything.
Different from the Mishnah.
That's different than the Mishnah. But the way you learn the price on the surface is that once you have that second oimid, he's totally potter. He doesn't get anything. The way Rivan is now interpreting the Gemara, since the Gemara is saying we're talking about from Wednesday to Sunday or whatever period of time, since there may have been a change in his structure, in his physical health, we don't automatically reject that first oimid. That was ridiculous. No, that was really tzedazach. And so therefore, if it's talking about a situation like in the Reisha, that originally they said he can go and take 40, and now they say he's unfortunately lost a lot of his power over the last few days, then he's potur, even though we didn't give him any malchus at all. What would be the nikla? Says the Rivan, the bizoyan that people said about him in Bezin, that he can go and get the lashes and we're going to administer the lashes, even though they didn't administer at the end, because the doctor said ekonish. So you have the bizoyanist, yes, the havamina, so to speak. And the second case, which is the Sefer, where originally he said 18, and now we're going to go and give him 40. And we don't give him 40, he's potter from the second oimid. That's why he's potter, he doesn't get 40. But he does get the 18, because that umdina was a good, was oimid gomer hoya. He's gotten stronger over the last few days. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy for him. He has good mazel, he's going to rely on that first oimid, and he's going to be potter from 18 till 39, he'll only have the first 18. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Now this goes to your point, Bill, that you had before. Over Veshiyesh Boshnei Lavin. Remember we said what happens in yesterday's Mishnah that we already discussed at some length at the beginning of this year. They can get 8 Lavin and therefore 8 times Malkus. Okay, getting 8 times 39 that's a bit of a burden.
12.
Exactly. But here we're not talking about the 8, we're only talking about 2. Over Veshiyesh Boshnei Lavin. And Amdu Oymid Echad. They only give him one umdina, one assessment, loik u potter. V'yim lav, and if not, loik u misrape v'choyze v'loiket. What does the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean? So the Gemara will explain, and then we'll get back to the Mishnah, and you'll see. V'yitur v'atanya, ein umdin, oimid echad l'shnei lavin. We don't normally do one umdina for two lavin. We do one umdina per lav. So Omer of Sheish Leikash, I'm going to explain to you what this is all about. Hondem du la'arboim, v'chod ha'odem du, La'arboim v'tarti. This fellow was a strong fellow. There's no question he can go do the 39. So if it was only one lav, one malchus, 39, he would survive, no issue. However, the doctor said he is so strong, he's strong as an ox, he can go till 41 or 42. What's the nafkim between 41 or 42? If it's 42, then we'll have a kiyum of not only the first Malkus of 39, we'll have a Kiyum of the 3 for the second Malkus. On the other hand, if it's only 41, I'll have the Kiyum for 39, but I can't give him 2 more.
41 is a prime number, 42
is higher by 3.
Exactly right. 42 can be divided by 3. If you divide 42 by 3, how much do you get?
14.
14, exactly. So you have 3 times 13 is the 39, so is Yoitza Malkus on the first lab, and I give him 3 on the second one, so is Yoitza on the second one. We only gave him 3, but that was the Umdanad, he cannot take more than 3 more than the 39. So with this, he was Yoitza both. In fact, if he gets a 42 assessment, and we give him 42 patch, he goes home, paid in full. But if, however, if we give him 41, we cannot give him 41, because that's impossible. So he only give him 39. So he didn't have any kiyum on the second one. Guess what? You tell him, go home, wait until you're misrape, and then you're coming again for additional lashes. And then we'll have to make an umdina, whether he can go and take another 39, or whether he can only take 3 more, 6 more, whatever. So getting back to the Mishnah again. So Omer Veshiyesh Boshnei Lav, he did 2 lav. Amdu Oimid Echad, if they gave him an umdana, which would be Mekayim both. In other words, it's at least 42, 45, 48. Then he's loike, he'll have Malkus 39 for the first, and three more for the second and Potter. And you go home, paid in full. However, what happens, Vimlav? What happens if they only give him an umdana for 41 or 40, and therefore he cannot get any Malkus for the second lav? Sees loike, he'll get the full 39 for the first one. Umisrapi will wait until he gets 8 or 4, wait a week, 2, whatever it is, until he gets his strength back. And then he'll do a second time Malkus based on a new umdana. How much can he endure the second time? So that's the Rav Sheshes Amdullah Aboyim, and this Aboyim, Aboyim Echon, and this was Aboyim Mishnayi. The final Mishnah goes through the technical details. Kates and Malkinoi say, how do you do the Malkus? Koife, our Mishnah says Koife, but it's a mistake, it should be Koifeis. Koife means just to bend over, Koifeis means to tie down. We tie down Shteyodav ala Omid. We have an omid like a shtender in front of him. And how big is the shtender? So says the Rivon, it was approximately 1.5 or 2 amos tall. So let's assume 2 amos, and go to Chazon Ish Asher, that would be about 4 feet. And so therefore we have them bending over. After all, the person presumably is 5 or 6 feet, and this is 4 feet, and we're tying down his two hands to the two sides. So he's bent over somewhat. And what does he do now? On both sides. The Chazan HaKnesses means the one that is administering the lashes. The Rivon says about Chazan, if you see about halfway down the Rivon, and then the big lines, the wide lines, towards the beginning of the line says Chazan. Chazan doesn't mean the one that davens for the omen. He's Shamas HaKohol. He's like the Shamas. I never understood how did the word chazan, what does it have to do with one administering the lashes? I don't really understand, says Rivon.
He leans over the oven.
Very good. So now we have a Zion over here. You see that Zion is Maser Shas. For Shal Omer in the Marshal, it says, Shuloshin Choyze. Chazoin Yesheyo Ben Amoroi. A Choyze means you have a vision. What means vision? Hirish Roya Tzorchiir. He oversees all of the nitzrachim, all the nitzrachim that you need in the city. So that's the Lashon Chazan. That's why typically Chazan HaKnesses is referring to the one in charge of the shul, the shamas, the smedrish, whatever. He makes sure that the lights are on, that the air conditioning is working, that there's enough air. And
he's also for minyan.
He oversees.
Exactly. He oversees, and that's the choiz of the seas. Exactly. So that's where the Chazan HaKnesses is. He's overseeing the administration of the lashes. And so you're going to wonder, why do we today use the term chazan for a bal tefillah? Why is a bal tefillah called a chazan? So I once said, for many years ago, because what's the gematria of the word chazan? Ches is
eight, right?
Zion is seven. Seven and eight is roughly 15. And then you have a nun. Nun is 50. 50 and 15 is 65. And then the name of Hashem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Aleph, Dalet, Aleph and Dalet is 5, Nun is 55, and Yud is 65. So we tell the Chazan, don't concentrate so much on gargling with your voice. Oh! Remember, Shavisi Hashem Lenehi Samid. And that's why we have the Shavisi signs, right? Remembering, you Chazan, what's your aim, what's your motive, what's your mission? To daven to Hashem. You, in fact, your name is already Meramis that you're davening to Hashem. Chazan is 65. Avai, Hashem Adnes is 65. Getting back to our Mishnah. So Chazan HaKnesses, Oiches B'begadav. Now, when we go and administer the lashes, we want that the lashes should go on the surface of his skin and not have any insulation of any begadav. So Oiches B'begadav, he grabs hold of the clothing and he gives a shlep. And nikru, nikrumu, and nifrumu, nifrumu. If it gets torn, it gets torn. If it gets torn, it gets torn. What's the difference between Kriya and Frima? Says the Rivon, Frima means Kriya shel Tfira. In other words, on the seam. Here you have just, you pull apart and the thing is...
It's made by Sota, the coin.
Same lush, the same lush as my Sota is right. Correct, you're 100% right. What's the reason why we do this? So says Maseres HaShas once again, because says V'niklach Yichalei Necho, we want to embarrass him, and that's why we pull it apart. And then he brings a raya from Masechta Sota, Toysa Sota, where the coin
also
got.
It seems that's what they're doing.
It seems that that's the pshat, exactly. But that's Nifrimu on the seam. Ashimigalas Liboy, which would mean the chest, but chest lavdavki means all to the back, because we're going to administer front and back, as you'll see. Vo'evin nesunami achrav, in back of the person who's going to get the malchus, there was a bit of a platform, and the Chazan HaKnesses, Oyman Olav, and the administrator is going to stand on that. On that,
when he whips him, he whips him in a downward motion.
Correct. Ritzu biyodoy, and what was Ritzu made out of? Shel egel kfula, echad v'shnayim u'shnayim l'arba. But he had two straps, both coming from the hide of an egel, of a young calf, and each one of them, you take it and you bend it over in half, and I guess you stitch it together. So now you have two of these straps, which have now been
doubled,
so therefore it becomes like arba. And yeshtei ritzui shel chamor oivus v'yardisba. And in between all the stitching and all the weaving, you have two ritzuas from a chamor, from the hide of a donkey. What means oivus v'yardisba? So the Levon learns that it means that you weave them all together in different types of a weaving. So it goes like up and it goes down, the stitches, and you weave it together as one. Anyway, now, yod tefach, the handle of this whip is a tefach long, or a chove tefach, and it's a tefach wide. V'roish magas al pi kreisai. And how far does it extend? So that it can go to the keres. Keres means
stomach.
Normally means stomach, but the Rivon says a few times it means until the pi kreisai, which means on the chest as it's about to hit the stomach. Almost like the mispar avoyim. You don't actually get to 40, but up to the keres. It's really more on the chest area. Umaka oise shlish b'fanav. One time in front, ushti yodus mulachrab, and two times in the back. So that's why you have each time in threes. Bein mak oisale oimid vle yoshiv ala moite. And the Nebuch, the one that's getting it, is bending over, like we said, he's bending over this shtender, this omud. Shenemar zvi pilay shoivit, that if he pilay, doesn't mean that he pushes him all the way down to the ground, but you at least push him a little bit in the sense that he's bent over. You don't take both hands at one time, you just take one hand at a time. And then someone calls out. Yeah. But here in our case, what he calls out is he repeats the psukim that it says in the Torah. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow, Miyat Hashem. What does it say in the Torah? If you look at number three. You're not listening. Listen. You're going to keep the Torah. It's going to be Baruch Hashem, a land of Cholav Udvash. However, if you're not going to listen to the Torah, you're going to get your makos. Going to get your patch. So that's what he has to read out. And what happens if he only has three makos altogether? Mm-hmm. Presumably, by the time he gave the three, you're still in the middle of the psukim. What happens if you're giving him 39 and you're reading the psukim slowly and you've already exhausted the whole pasuk? Because you start again. Exactly, you repeat. And then you end off, etc. And once again, if he's still in the middle, you go back to the beginning. What happens, Rahman al-Itzlan, he gave him so many lashes, and unfortunately he did not survive. But as long as it was within the umdana that the doctors originally gave, which was approved by the Besdin, they gave an umdana for 18, and he gave him 18, and he died. I'm off the heavy. I just did what the orders.
Exactly.
18
was high, but
it didn't turn out that way. Yeah. But because what happens? He decided one for good luck instead of 18. He gave him 19 omeis. How is it going? And then he goes to the Golus because he was not authorized to do number 19.
Why isn't it amazing? Why is it shogeg?
Well, because he didn't do it intentionally. He's going to kill the guy.
Well, he did.
He presumably even lost count of the number.
Okay. What is
well, isn't there somebody something along with them to keep him? Well,
maybe he lost count. Okay, anyway, look, we'll wait for the Gemara tomorrow. This galgal, what happens if in the middle of all this going on, his whole body functions now go kaput? Bein berei, bein b'mayim, sigh with excrement, sigh urinating. Then potter, then we send him home because it's already... A man has to be dafka with the more extreme, as they used to call it in Yiddish, mit gdoilem. For isha mine, isha fil baktanim, that's already enough of bizoyim for the isha, and then they go potter, we're finished with the malchus, and we go on. Stop over here, everybody, Mitch, to continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Zagi.